I was out of practice on getting this started. I didn't know how to do this. It's like, what button do I press? What's the song even called anymore? Thank goodness in this instance for Google search history. Yes, we are back. Yes. This is not a mirage, if you will. Mm-mm. Billy Wessels, Clint Foster, we're back.
You're not dreaming.
If this is your dream, well, I guess we can make this dream come
Congratulations.
True. Yeah, you're welcome for this. You are welcome for this dream. I have plenty of jokes I'm going to make, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
We are back. We're going to talk football.
Yes.
I know it's April. Like, football. And we have the hottest baseball team in the country right now. Why don't we talk about football? But we're have some really good football info we're going to tease you with, because somebody got to go to watch practice yesterday no one else gets to go to. So one of us two got to go to practice. We're going to talk baseball.
We're talking about practice.
Yeah, we will be talking about practice. Spring game is, 7 days? It's next Saturday, so it's a week away now. Soccer, we're going to give them some love because they keep killing it. They're back for the tournament. They're the hottest team in the country. Like, I don't get how it's going to – if they're not a Final Four team, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
As well as they're playing right now.
Deserve all the love.
And then, you know who doesn't deserve a lot of love? The basketball team, right? The men's basketball team in specifics.
Yeah. That window next to where we sit is looking mighty appealing right now. Just for me to just leap out of when I think about basketball.
Yeah, so it's going to be everyone else, it seems like every second you look, someone's leaving. So we'll get into that towards the end of the show.
But 50 first, ways to leave your lover. Yes. TCU basketball edition.
But first and foremost, we should give a bit of an update because it's been, I think, a month since we've done a show. It's been at least...
Has it been that long?
Well, we did one... let me open my calendar app on the old MacBook, because I was out of town. I went to Disney the week of the 20th to the 27th. I think we met the week before that, because I think I was busy. You were busy.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say we met like the 11th or 12th was the last time we met, and today's the 9th. It's been a full month.
Wow.
Well, what a world.
All our those dreamers out there, they're chomping at the bit. Right, waiting for that next Toad Talk to drop, and here it is.
So, a bit of a life update, if you will. So, I was out of town for a week. I went to Disney World. It was amazing. I was in Orlando for a week. Great time. And then immediately came back and started a new job the day we got back. So, I'm now a 9-to-5 working stiff for Boomer Benefits, owned by a TCU alum. That's very exciting.
Yes,
founded by a TCU alum. So if you need Medicare supplements, I'll be your guy to go to. Here in like 2 weeks when I finish training and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. But yeah, seems like a really great company. Very excited to join it. But now I'm working a 9-to-5. So that's going to put our schedule at a bit of an awkward time slot, but we'll see how this goes. But you also have recently gained an employment in a very similar field.
Very similar, yeah. I'm working for a company called Swingle Collins and Associates. I'm doing insurance as well, but mine is high net worth personal lines. So specifically like property casualty that is catered toward high net worth folks. Because apparently, and this is something, you know, we were both saying, we knew nothing about insurance before like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I mean, folks have really specific needs and often don't get the coverage that they need when they're in those higher income brackets. Yeah. So that's where I come in, helping folks out.
Yeah, and so, I cover what Medicare won't is what I'm going to be doing.
There you
so,
go.
Yeah, it's much lower, I say lower stakes, we're dealing with people's health, but like lower financial stakes.
Yes.
They're like millions of dollars of properties, yes.
Yes.
But yes, so we'll
get... I'm injecting some much-needed purple into this company with their... I'm kind of helping get this fledgling Fort Worth office going because it's a Dallas company, and almost everyone at this company is a Baylor Bear.
Ooh,
so nice. I even said in one of my interviews, I'm like, this is one thing that's giving me a little pause, right? Like, there's no TCU people at your company.
No, that's gross.
You need to change that, like, immediately.
Yeah, no.
Starting with me.
That really should change. So, yes, I mean... My business is Danielle Kunkel Roberts, is a TCU alum from the 90s. So, yes, very excited for this opportunity. So, I got some purple in my company. I feel better about that.
Yes.
But, yeah, so we'll be coming much less frequently, sadly, I think, going forward. I think our schedules are going to be really wonky.
We'll still meet in the evenings, you know, especially during football season.
Especially during football season. But we'll try and make this at least every other week. At worst, hopefully, and during the non-football season, I guess as long as baseball keeps rolling,
we'll
definitely get into there. But yeah, so just kind of a quick podcast and life update. I think we both have some really exciting changes in our worlds, and I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, this will take a small step back. But yes, but what is not taking a step back is the hype train for TCU football 2021.
Not slowing down.
And some of us have been on this bandwagon for years.
Uh-huh.
I've been talking about 2021 for years.
Some people us, on a certain podcast yes, that you been, happen to be listening
have
to.
Have been building up 2021 for years. And people are like, wow, I'm starting to think TCU could be good, pretty good in 2021.
Yeah, what tipped you off?
No dirt. No dirt, guys. But yes, and you... being the former ball boy, I was a ball boy for one season. You were a ball boy for like seven seasons, I feel like.
Well, I wish, man. Yeah, it was only four, but.
Yeah, I mean, and one of them was a Rose Bowl. But yes. But yeah, so you got to use some sweet perks to go watch a little practice yesterday.
Yeah, I went and checked out practice, and you said it. The hype train, there is no reason to slow down. No. This team has so much potential. It just, it's got me salivating thinking about it. But yeah, I got to check out practice, got to check out actually the new Eastside Luxury Boxes wow. as well. Went up the elevator there and it's beautiful. TCU continues to just build beautiful stuff. And it's wild to think about. I mean, I think they actually had an Instagram post the other day comparing the stadium at the beginning of Coach P's tenure, which is the stadium I grew up with, to now. And it's just, it's amazing just the 180 difference.
It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
I can't even rationalize when I look at this like school, look at this football stadium from year to year, like going back at old like stories and stuff and old pictures and stuff. I can't believe that we made it.
It looks like we did.
This song always goes through my head whenever I walk up on the Carter now. It does. Every time I walk up, I'm like, oh, looks like we made it. And Barry Manilow plays this sweet tone.
Look how far we've come.
It's crazy, man. I should have known where the hook was in this song. But it's crazy. We'll play it underneath. It's a good bet. It's a good bet for this conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like we could make it in 2021 as well.
It looks like we could, man. So, we really like, and you know, it's the caveat every year. If this team stays healthy, the sky's the limit. And that has been an issue this spring. As if you might have seen things that Jeremy Clark wrote about Coach P's media availability. I counted five starters out on defense with injuries.
At least, I think.
Yeah,
so... But again, these are injuries, except for in one case, it seems like they'll all be good to go for the fall.
Yes, yeah.
Again, I know Jeremy wrote this today, that Keon Stewart is dealing with an injury, and his status for the fall is up in the air.
Yes,
so yeah. that we can't say. I know this is your first time going to, like, practice and not be able to say whatever you want. So I want to try and step some, because being someone who gets to go to practice and knows what he can and can't say, I'm trying to take some bullets for you.
Yeah, appreciate that, Billy. Appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, the good thing about that is, though, is you have these depth guys getting work.
Yeah.
Theoretically you're like, okay, these starters are ready to go whenever fall comes. It's good to have the guys behind them get some work, because depth is a little bit of a concern. At linebacker, it's a little bit of a concern. At cornerback, beyond a few guys. And there's so many young guys at safety now who are getting a lot more playing time than they had in the past. So it's been a really good thing. The offense, man, those skill positions, oh my gosh. Just overflowing with talent. And Marcel Brooks looks shockingly comfortable at wide receiver.
Well, I think it's just pure athleticism.
Yeah.
Right? He's just such a good natural athlete. I obviously would have liked to have seen him flourish on the defensive side of the ball, but the Gary Patterson system is not for everybody.
Yep.
And so you come in and, hey, if you're going to be a contributor to the team in some way, we're going to find the perfect spot for you. I mean, you saw that GP's done this for years with what Jerry Hughes and the Ty Summers and those kind of guys that come in expecting to play somewhere else and moving. So
yeah, running backs are nuts. I mean, Zach Evans had a couple big runs he broke loose on. Darwin Barlow. This is a fun fact about Darwin Barlow. His thighs, I kid you not, are as wide as his shoulders in shoulder pads. And not
that's just
not,
one thigh.
Not yeah.
He's building a pyramid.
You're like, how is that physically possible? Dude is built. I mean,
he's doing the Saquon Barkley workout.
Yeah, thing. Apparently.
No, but even him, for him, like, we've known this is coming. He's been like one of the strongest guys on the team going back to high school. He made the rounds. I think it was a Max Preps video of him like deadlifting 900 pounds or whatever, 700 pounds, whatever it was. Yeah, I get it was sumo, so you can lift a little heavier that way, whatever.
Yep.
Like, it's still crazy watching a then high school running back do this. But yeah, no. So let's kind of go position by position as much as we can.
Yeah, sure.
So let's start with running back since we're there now. So, like, Zach Evans, monster.
Oh, yeah.
We know this. Darwin Barlow, a physical monster.
Yes.
And even then, like, he was, I think, I want to say second among returning Big 12 running backs for, like, yards per carry and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a monster. I mean, DeMarque Foster might get a little more run.
Yes. And, I mean, Amari DiMarcado is still getting carries. Yeah. I mean, it's hard because, you know, there was a little bit of a scrimmage at the end, and you have like first team, second team, third team, and then a little bit of fourth team. So those first three guys got the most run,
yeah,
with Foster rotating in a little bit.
Where's Kendra Miller?
Oh my God, that's true. Yeah, Kendra Miller was out there too. Well, he was. Yeah, he scored a touchdown at one point, now that I remember it. It's just, we have so freaking many.
Well, yeah, we're not used to this problem, having so many weapons.
I mean, I was talking to, you know, one of my friends in the athletic department there. I was like, man, I thought that Ed Wesley, Wayman James, and Matthew Tucker were a full backfield. This is a full backfield. And, well, I mean, they're all happy, and they're all amazing.
Well, listening to LaDainian Tomlinson a couple weeks ago, have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Him, yes, saying how this is the best running back group TCU's ever had.
I mean, there's no question.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, yeah, LT's the best we've ever had, but yes, you've got five, like, you know,
five guys that would have all been his backup.
Yeah, exactly.
Would have been his immediate number two in the
backup. Yeah, yes. Those are the words that I was searching for.
Yes.
Yeah. And the wide receivers are crazy, too. I mean,
yeah, Quentin Johnston was out there.
Yeah, Quentin Johnston, Blair Conwright, a couple of those new tight ends.
Mikael Barkley.
Yeah, Mikael Barkley.
Savion Williams, was he? I know some of these guys are playing, some they're not playing. I'm just throwing names that I can think
he
of.
He may have been. You know, to be honest with you, I was paying so much attention to the offensive line.
Okay, all right. So we know the receivers are good.
Yes.
New tight ends, we'll figure that out.
I
would love to see a tight end be successful in the TCU offense, but I believe it when I see it.
Mm.
Quarterbacks, Duggan's the guy. Still hoping we get the Chandler Morris situation.
And Chandler Morris, he was looking pretty good. He was getting some run out there.
So yeah, that's, again, a very well-covered thing where it's Oklahoma to decide. But I think just by looking at the landscape and how it's been in recent years, I'm sure that'll get passed. It, yes, just seems to be makes too much sense, or eventually, like, all right, come on over. You can play right away. Because I think someone has a flow chart. I want to say it's Ed's BS. It should be Saturday.
Spencer.
Spencer Hall, yes. Has a flow chart of, like, are you a D1? Are you a Power 5 quarterback going to a Power 5 conference? Immediately eligible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But now you're in a conference, that makes it a little bit of an issue. Yeah, but yeah, quarterbacks find a way. All right, let's get to the offensive line. Unless
there's another quarterback. I do have to give a shout out to Alexander Honig, who got a little bit of playing time near the end, which I was very happy to see. That is a large human being, man.
Yeah.
Like, because I was like, I was looking at him and I was saying to somebody, I was like, he looks bigger than Casey. And they're like, oh yeah, he's bigger than Casey. Like,
wow.
He's very, like, it's like Dolph Lundgren running around out there. Like, I mean, oh my gosh. I'm really excited to see what he develops into.
He listed at 6'5 and a half, 230. Is that right?
He's every bit of it, man.
You believe it?
He is every bit of it, for sure. As a, you know, 18-year-old, 17-year-old kid, however old he is.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this.
There's definitely a little bit of an adjustment period for him, for sure. I mean, just, you know, we talk about the change in speed from high school to college. I mean, just kind of multiply that by probably like five with the change from like German select team to major D1 college. So definitely an adjustment period, but I'm thrilled to see what he can become.
Give him 2 years to learn, I would say, American football a little bit too, right? And because the speed's insanely different, as you mentioned. He's listed at 6'6", 230.
Yeah,
so 6'5 and a half, 230, I think is fair.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, quarterbacks, we hit all the skill guys. Now offensive line.
The
big boys.
The starters, now I will say that not all of the starters were playing, but the starters that were out there, they looked good. And they were playing against a very, very good and deep defensive line, which I'm so excited
about. We'll get to the defensive line in a second. But the offensive line is going to be a lot of guys we're familiar with.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Avila, he's the cream of the crop.
Yep.
He's going to be the absolute best one. He can play literally any spot on the line, and he has.
And he probably will.
Yeah.
He
very well might. So, you know, it was a lot of the usual suspects that you would expect to see out there.
Wes Harris was out there.
Andrew Coker. I mean, it's most likely that kid Easy from Memphis is going to end up starting.
Yep.
Whether that means that Coker's at one tackle and he's at the other, or, I mean, Steve Avila was actually playing tackle most of the day.
Yeah.
So,
He played some there last season, too. It's not a total surprise.
Yeah, all the usual
suspects. McMillan's still out there.
Quinn McMillan, yeah. And they were all, I mean, you know, the extra year of maturity showed. I mean, you know, Max every now and then was having to move around in the pocket because, again, you've got some really good defensive linemen.
This defensive line is ridiculous.
But the offensive line was holding its own. Feel very good about those starters. Depth, you'd like to see, you know, just because it's a lot of young guys, a lot of talented guys, but a lot of young guys, you want to see them come up a little bit more, but the potential is there. And the offense appeared to be very cohesive. There appeared to be just a really solid through line and a philosophy, which was good.
And I loved, like, Sonny Cumbie, the person was fantastic, but you start to wonder about too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And if you bring in Jerry Kill, it's just too many voices you have to listen to, especially for the young quarterback. Max is obviously more mature now, but like it's just too many voices. So giving Meacham back control. And again, Meacham, I saw this on Twitter yesterday. Like he tweeted back in 2019, he tweeted out a random four verticals video of Doctson catching a pass. And then yesterday retweeted it and commented on it. I remember exactly what he said. Oh, it's used to beat he did some analytical with it. But the fact that he's like looking back at his own play from 2 years ago of a Doctson play from 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm getting excited because you can imagine Hugh running those Doctson routes.
He is. Quentin Johnston can be that next potentially best receiver in TCU history. It's still Doctson to me.
Oh, I think,
but he could be that.
And I don't think he'll touch what Doctson did.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that kind of ceiling is there.
Yeah,
like I could see him passing Reagor.
I mean, shoot, we said that when he signed.
Yeah, no, you know,
that he had Josh Doctson energy, right?
Yeah. Big Doctson energy,
big D energy.
Yes, yes, I believe is what I said.
Yes. But yeah, so offense.
So we get an offensive line that can give Duggan a little more time to utilize these incredible weapons that TCU's never had before. Feeling good.
Yeah. Well, so. and I mean, I'm not going to give you any specifics, but I saw a trick play. Period. There are trick plays. So
in case you're wondering,
those exist, and some of them are pretty interesting.
They're not all going to be direct snaps to the tight end to run for negative 1 yards and fumble.
I hope not. I mean, as much fun as that was to put into my Louisiana Tech video,
yes.
I hope we never see that again.
I hope we never see that again as well. Reminders, if you're, we still have to talk about the defense, but the spring game next Saturday, 11 a.m., be there, be square.
Yes, I'm planning on being there.
I'll be there for sure, too.
I'm planning on also doing some sort of content associated with it.
Oh, you have
it,
to.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So that'll
TCU
be fun.
Fans watching the spring game. So yes,
that's what I'm thinking.
Shocking.
Yes,
you're a lot of things. But I think you follow a very specific formula.
Yeah.
For your titles.
Yes.
All right, defense. What do you want to start with there? Because there's plenty of questions on the secondary. There's the question about the second linebacker spot. I have no questions about the defensive line.
Let's
I feel
start
great
there.
About that. Start
because,
the defensive line.
Man, this defensive line. Like you thought that 2018 defensive line was good. This defensive line is so deep, has so much talent. Now, I'm not saying that Kari Coleman and O'Shawn Mathis, my beautiful space unicorn bison, are going to be, you know, senior LJ Collier and Ben Banigou level necessarily. But when you combine those two outside pressure threats with the deepest defensive tackles TCU's ever had.
I think that's very fair to say. I think this defensive tackle group might be the best TCU's ever had.
Corey Bethley wasn't even out there, but they had Patrick Jenkins, Jaquez Sorrells, Kenny Turnier, the kid from UCF, Terrell Cooper. That's five big dudes who make serious noise inside, not even to mention the George Ellises and those other dudes that we saw make plays against Baylor's and everybody else.
Yeah.
This defensive line...
We saw a little Earl Barquette last year as
yes,
well.
Yes, Earl Barquette. That's another one. I was like, I'm forgetting a name. Yep. And then the backups, you know, because you may say, oh, okay, defensive tackle's great. What about depth at defensive end? Colt Ellison is coming along very nicely. We've seen flashes from him in the past. He is a solid second defensive end, as is Dylan Horton. You remember him, the linebacker from New Mexico?
Yep.
He's wearing 98 and looking the part, man. He is another great backup defensive end that you can just rotate those guys constantly. You never have to worry about, oh, am I going to be able to get pressure with just four guys? You know, of course, Coach P is always going to blitz his fair share too. But you've got a solid,
good about the defensive line. Okay, yeah. Linebacker. We know D Winters will be there.
Yeah, D Winters is obviously going to start. The big question is that second one, right? Who's that going to be?
Yep.
I'll tell you that the dudes that I saw the most from were Wyatt Harris and Dylan Jordan, actually. Dylan Jordan was looking really great out there. I know that we saw him kind of as a sleeper coming into that recruiting class.
Yeah, his high school film was some of the best I've seen as far as being a freak athlete.
Yeah.
Just what he could do at that size and speed from the linebacker spot. Obviously, there was the issue, I think it was last offseason, But it seems like he and GP have buried the hatchet. If he's gonna be, which I'm not surprised by. I mean, GP has been a class guy, and
dude, he's a consummate professional. Yeah, like he will chew you out in practice, but and he will make you like question your.
Normally you deserve it.
Yes, exactly. Yes. It's because you did something wrong, and you need to be corrected.
Yes.
Yeah, but Dylan Jordan was looking good out there. Also saw some Zach Marchiselli out there.
Yep.
Which, you know, that may be a name that you're like, who? But yeah, he was one.
His high school tape is violent. He was from he's from Broken Arrow in Oklahoma. His high school tape is violent. But the talent I don't think he was going against initially was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Looking at the depth chart, it looks like Thomas Armstrong has officially moved to linebacker from defensive line.
Mm.
So I think it's a better fit for him long term. I don't know if he'll play this year or not. Yeah. But as far as like, will he see the field because there are other better guys in front of him? I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was a guy I think they were talking about moving, but he's officially moved on the depth chart. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And then corners, man.
You know I love Garrett Wallow.
Yeah, of course.
Like a son that I'll.
I'm not familiar with this information. Yeah, yeah. I've never heard.
Like a son that I could have someday, but I think Dylan Jordan might be a better athlete than Garrett Wallow was because I love Wallow to death. Wheel routes were not his specialty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think Jordan is a guy who's so athletic that could become an area that's less of an issue for TCU's defense.
And, you know, he has that similar kind of violence about him that Wallow has, where he's like, light his hair on fire. It's that Tanner Brock thing, right? Where it's just like, light his hair on fire and just go. Yeah. Just go get him.
But nothing will scare me more than Wallow doing the come to me or whatever. Mm-hmm. Was that in the Oklahoma State game or whatever he was doing? Yeah. Oh man, that's some scary stuff right there. But yeah, Dylan Jordan, I think will be a very nice addition. If again, these are all guys you'll see in the spring game next week. Not saying they'll be starting in the fall.
Yeah.
But coming to the spring game next week, you'll see some Dylan Jordan get some run.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, secondary cornerback has been a big. We feel very good about this team come the fall, but there are some issues about depth currently in the spring.
Yeah, a lot of guys hurt right now. I mean. You know, there were three guys that are big name guys that were not out there. But CJ Caesar was getting a lot of play, looked really great. He has not slowed down at all in his development. Had an interception at one point that was pretty athletic, had to dive for the ball, got the defense really fired up. So it's great to have him out there, especially on a team where it's like, ooh, cornerback depth could be an issue. So good to have him. And then you saw a little bit of Donovan Collins. There was also this walk-on kid from Atlanta whose name is escaping me, but he got a lot of playing time.
Yeah, and that's a guy that GP mentioned a lot the other day. Is it Jontae McMillan?
Yes. Yeah, that's one, yeah.
Redshirt freshman from Conyers, Georgia.
Yes. Yeah, so he was getting a lot of playing time. Also, you know, partially because you're missing three guys. Yeah. but he was very physical corner, very physical. A little too physical sometimes, a little too handsy with the ball.
5'11", 186. That's almost a little thicker than your usual. That's the right size for a TCU corner. That's the right height. Yeah. A little bit thicker, like CJ Caesar is listed at 165.
Yeah.
Keon Stewart, 170. Noah Daniels, 194. Trey Tomlinson, 177. So he's got some more meat to his bones. So
yeah, he's definitely one of the beefier corners.
And by the way, his profile picture on GoFrogs is he's got a. Most of that weight might be in his hair. He's got a great head of hair under that helmet. So. Yeah, cornerback. So if you see them all get burnt real bad in the spring game next week, don't freak out.
Yes.
Because this cornerback group will be much better come the fall when you get Noah Daniels out there.
Dude,
you
get Noah Tomlinson Daniels and Trey Tomlinson, after the year Trey Tomlinson had,
yeah.
Those two as booking corners, oh, forget about it.
Yeah, it's going to be real hard to pass on this team.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And then you got the safeties backing them up,
the
right?
Safeties, yeah, we're getting to the safeties now. All right, natural segue. Who you got there? Because CSU suddenly has to replace two guys.
Yes, and I hate it. I hate it so much.
I mean, all the mock drafts have Washington not being taken in the first like four rounds.
I know.
Because for a while he was like a first round pick, but then he had a okay year this year.
Yeah.
Wasn't as good as his freshman year.
I'm so worried that he's going to have a Chris Hackett situation where it's like, dude, you were so good and you just needed one more year of tape and development. Ah, but anyway, what's done is done. Trey, it was time for Trey to go get
Trey, his money. No. I was hoping, but I knew that was a prayer. That was like a one in a trillion shot of him coming back. He was the best safety in college football. He'll be a first-round pick. Hopefully he falls to 28 so I can get my Saints jersey with Mary.
Hopefully he goes to the Cowboys. Yeah, we probably need him more than y'all do.
Y'all definitely do. But no, we need a corner. That's what the Saints need. The Saints need a corner or a receiver, one of those two spots. Mm. Kind of hoping J.C. Horn slides a little bit. That's Joe Horn's son.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So apparently the best trash talker in the SEC, so that's exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, safeties, a lot of talent, not a lot of experience. So saw a lot of Bud Clark out there, a lot of Josh Foster. TJ Carter, the kid from Memphis, he's got an opportunity to work into a starting spot. Obviously, one of the starting spots is sewn up. It's LeKendrick Manzan.
LVZ's got one starting spot.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah. But those other guys that I mentioned, plus Nook Bradford, a lot of talent in the secondary. It's just a matter of getting those guys grown up over the course of the rest of the spring and August and filling them in where they need to be filled in.
I think Jamie wrote about this the other day, that the youngest guy, like Bud Clark, is getting a lot of hype right now.
He is.
You mentioned him getting a lot of playing time too, but like,
yeah.
GP's like taking note. Like, he's a guy that will push for that one of those starting spots this year as a redshirt freshman. No, as a sophomore, because he played some games last year. So yeah.
He's wearing 26. He's okay. Big and rangy. I'm like, and I turned over to the guy I was talking to. I was like, 26 is a good safety number. I was like, he looks a little bit like Marvin White out there. He wasn't landing the licks on anybody.
Well, no one can do that. But yes.
I mean, Bud Clark could be very special, I think. But Josh Foster, I think what you're looking at for starters right now, most likely, is LeKendrick VanZant, Josh Foster at free, and Bud Clark, probably.
Oh, Bud Clark over Nuke?
Nuke Bradford was getting a lot of playing time, too, and he does have more
experience.
Seniority and experience, yeah. But it was... And again, I was paying so close attention to the lines.
I think that's more important. I think we've grown to trust the TCU defense, especially GP and the TCU secondary, with as I've been saying for 2 years now, the future TCU head football coach, Paul Gonzalez.
Yes, yes.
Leading that. So.
There may be more legs to that than we even realize.
I called it years ago.
Yes.
If it happens, I just know you heard it here literally first.
And
people
before,
call me crazy.
And before you freak out, Gary Patterson was not a sexy hire either whenever he was hired.
Take
okay?
that back.
No, but I mean, Dick Lowe had to lobby for him. Like, why are we promoting the defensive coordinator? Why aren't we going and getting somebody?
It's hard to. It literally just hit me. I was like, oh, yeah, that was 22 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, crazy.
Yeah, he was just. I mean, yeah, he was a good defensive coordinator, but do we really want him as a head coach? Listen, you stick with Paul Gonzalez, and I've heard so many good things from inside the program.
Yeah.
I mean, I know him a little bit. But folks who have worked with him a lot longer, like, oh, he's so insanely organized. He's so good at what he does. The kids love him. And you retain the culture that's been built over the last 20 years. That would be a boon.
I just want to be right, because, again, I did say that 2 years ago.
Yes.
I did say that a long time ago.
Yes, yes.
So that's, again, I don't think GP leaves until they win a national title. So hopefully in like 7 months we're
check
my watch. Hopefully in like 7 months we're having this conversation again.
Yep.
But yeah, but I think GP still has plenty of football left in him, and this team has a lot of potential. Feeling real good, feeling better. Next, Saturday, 11 a.m. Be at the Carter. You and I will be there. Should we sit together?
Not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Yeah, the
17th.
The 17th, yes.
We can sit together for
you
sure.
You want to sit together?
My buddy Cam will be with me. So, yeah.
If you want to come say hey, I guess we'll probably tweet out where we're sitting or whatever. People want to come say hi to us.
Absolutely.
Congratulate us on our new jobs. And
get some
insurance.
Yeah.
some insurance.
And you know, maybe get yourself a cameo in TCU fans during the spring
true.
Game.
That's true. You give everyone that comes says hey, like give them a line or something.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So hopefully you get to do a TCU fans watching the College World Series.
Yeah.
Because this team is stupid hot right now. Last time we spoke, I'm gonna go back and look at the notes that I had written down from 3-12 last time we did a podcast. So much for winning 18. This is my notes from March 12th. So much for winning 18 in a row or whatever. Frogs lose 6-5 in 10 innings of Sam Houston. They get run rule 11-1 to Texas State.
Mm-hmm.
Beat UTSA 6-3. Like, he's like, whatever. Now they face Gonzaga, and they lost, what, 2 to Gonzaga?
They definitely lost one. I thought they won the series.
Did they win the series of Gonzaga or did they lose the series of Gonzaga?
Dude, I can't remember.
That's the real question. I feel like they lost
Gonzaga. The series. Gonzaga lost the most important game they played this year. That's all that matters.
I'm so mad.
Yes, I'm furious.
But Gonzaga won two out of those three games. They outscored TCU. Looks like 24 to 22 in those three games. But TCU won 7-1 and then lost 13-8 and 10-7. So yeah, bad mojo there. But since then, they've lost one time.
Yeah, paging Don Dowell.
Yeah. They've lost just one game since then, and that was the second game. They've now won, I think, 10 in a row again. They play Texas Tech this weekend for, the Big 12 lead.
Yeah,
likely who's going to be the higher seed in the come tournament time. They scored 10-plus runs in six of these 10 games. They swept Baylor and Oklahoma to start Big 12 play, outscored them 59-20 in those six games.
Wow,
that's absurd.
That sounds good.
That's winning 10-3. Is that how that math works roughly? In six games, roughly.
Yeah, about man, 9 point something.
Yeah, 9 point something to 3 or 4, whatever. Yeah, crazy, blowing out Baylor and Oklahoma,
which you
do love to see it. I know. I don't think they're I don't think they were supposed to be the cream of the crop of the Big 12 this year, because that's supposed to be Texas Tech, TCU, Texas, maybe OK State, but. But the fact you're doing that to opponents in your conference, in a power conference, is saying something.
Yeah, oh yeah. This team is hitting its stride, and it's a beautiful thing to see. Got a huge win this weekend. Huge series this weekend.
Yeah, Texas Tech tonight at 6:30 p.m. So in 2.5 hours from now, by the time you listen to this, it'll be under 2 hours. Or by the time you listen to this, game one's probably already happened.
Yeah.
Friday 6:30, Saturday, April 10th at 2 p.m. and then Sunday, April 11th at straight up noon. All games on ESPN Plus and 88.7 The Choice. Listen to Jeffrey Craig, friend of the podcast, is his radio station. So, and Chuck Lomondola, the voice of the Frogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, excited for this team right now. Again, a month ago, I was like, oh, my God, they're going to let us down again.
Yeah.
But then they get hot. Led by a guy named Braden Taylor. Have you heard of this guy?
Yeah, if you weren't going to say his name, I was going to say it, man.
They should start calling him Braden Tater, because all he does is hit, bombs. Hit taters is probably what I should have said.
I was like, tater?
Taters is nothing for
the
home
tater.
Run.
Tater!
Isn't that a nickname for a home run?
Maybe.
I want to say it is. Someone yell at me if it's not. I feel even more dumb.
I feel like home runs are one of those things you can call pretty much anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
And get
a nice old ding-dong.
Yeah. Look at that balloon there.
Look at that. Massive swing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now that one was
We can't say that much for the Rangers this year.
Oh, yeah.
By golly, we can say it for Braden Taylor.
Rangers are back to old school Rangers. Give up a million runs and hope you score a million and one.
It's going to be real bad. But Braden Taylor is not real bad. 8 home runs, 31 RBIs, hitting .297 on the season. Now, I'll get to this Twitter question now because it directly implies to him. We have more later. Don Dowell, just mentioned a minute ago, will Bitey set TCU's season home run record for the Lupton era? And I was like, you know what? I don't know what the Lupton era home run record is. I don't even know what the school record for home run is. So it turns out the Lupton era was set in 2017 by Evan Skaug, mm-hmm. who hit 20.
Yes.
Now, Taylor has 8, and they've played 28 games, and they have 27 left scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
So that means he's on pace for about 16 regular season home runs. He would need to have a great Big 12 tournament. And again, the competition, I think, gets a little bit tougher with Tech, with mm-hmm. Oklahoma State, with Texas coming up.
Right.
So I don't believe he sets it this year. Next year?
Maybe.
Next year, perhaps? So, but yeah,
Skaug. That was wild, though, to hear that Skaug was the record holder, because my immediate thought was Luke and Baker, right?
I knew he didn't have any, the crazy monster years, but yeah. The Skaug that year, was that the Missouri State year where he ended that guy's career?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He dropped the ball in warm-ups, this is going to be a home run. I was like, oh, Skaug's going yard.
Yeah.
I was like, this is about to happen. It's the most predictable sequence of events ever. But all-time record is Chris Connolly and Tom Hardgrove. Both have 23 homers. That's the TCU record. Connolly in 97, Hardgrove in 89. Maybe you saw them in uniform during last year's uniform bracket for the old school baseball bracket.
You might have, yes.
Your face went totally blank. I was going with that. God, that 1903 uniform or whatever that we posted was some quality stuff.
Beautiful, man. Nice and warm, you know, for those cold Texas Augusts.
I am glad that 2020 is over. Philip Sykes is still raking, hitting .340 on the year with 30 RBIs, 6 steals, and 12 doubles. So he's killing it. Gene Wood has 6 homers and 8 steals, 28 homers. Mm. So those are kind of the leaders on the offensive side for the Frogs right now. As again, they're mashing right now. Yeah. It's mashing taters, as I say.
And Sacco just obliterating Sacco. Franchises.
Yeah, yes. You're, what's the thing on Twitter?
Like Tommy Sacco just obliterated your franchise yeah. with like red eyes.
I don't know if I get it, but it's fair. It's like the Woo Birds. I'm too old. I'll never understand.
I'm here for the laser eyes on
I do enjoy that. Pitching staff. All right. Russell Smith, 5-1, 225, 50 Ks and 40 innings. He's becoming – him and Austin Krob have become the aces.
Mm-hmm.
Krob, 4-0, 227 ERA, 48 Ks and 39 and two-thirds innings. So, yeah, those starters have become the guys. Johnny Ray, I don't think he's been the same since the COVID stuff. So,
yeah.
And neither has Marcelo Perez. He's having a down year, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Halen Green's still doing. He's getting save chances. He's closing doors. So he's got 6 saves, a 2.01 ERA, and 34 Ks and 31 innings.
I love that he's really just evolved beyond that, just like exceptional middle reliever to just. I mean, he's our closer now.
Well, yeah, now he's just the full foregone closer, but he's also the guy that can do whatever.
Like yeah,
If it's an important spot in the 6th inning. Wouldn't shock me if Tech tonight has the bases loaded in the 7th inning. And one out. And Halen Green, he might finish the game from that point.
Yeah.
Like, that's something he could do. He's done that before, I believe. So, very excited for the baseball team right now. And if you saw D1 Baseball, Kendall Rogers hates your team. but he likes TCU, has him as the number 3 national seed going into the tournament.
Right on.
Which they're ranked number 10, which I don't quite know how that correlates.
I guess he is broadcasting a strong finish for us.
He had Tech at 4. And another thing, though, I know... quote-unquote SEC bias, I know you don't want to make that totally regional. Like, you don't want to make that incredibly all-regional. Have everyone playing in Mississippi, Louisiana.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't want that to happen. So, yeah. So maybe that plays a bit of a factor. But TCU, hitting on all cylinders right now, hitting a bunch of taters with Braden Tater.
Hitting a bunch of asparagi.
Yeah. Who else is hot right now? The women's soccer team. 2-0 in the spring season.
Yes, Queens.
Including, they beat a ranked Oklahoma State the other day, 2-0 in the spring, beat Oklahoma 2-0. Oklahoma's winless.
Mm.
They only beat them 2-0. Oklahoma State's ranked, beat them 4-0. So crazy. And Yasmin Ryan has
a little plan down to your competition.
Right,
there.
Yasmin Ryan has 3 goals on the young spring season. Emily Alvarado had 6 saves versus Oklahoma State.
She's just a machine.
She had 0
man.
Against Oklahoma because Oklahoma's not good. But 6 saves against Oklahoma State's awfully impressive.
Yeah, she's just awesome. And she's going to play internationally, I think, for a minute.
Well, she's been playing for Team Mexico on their teen team or whatever, under 18 or whatever, the under 20 team or whatever.
Yeah.
So hopefully whenever she's done here, she translates this to possibly playing a World Cup in a couple years. That'd be exciting.
It'd be very exciting.
They face A&M this Saturday at 7 p.m., and that one is in College Station. And then April 17th, the night of the spring game, 7 p.m., they host Notre Dame.
All right,
that's fun. I don't know if they're good or not in women's soccer, but it's a brand.
It's always fun to beat Notre Dame in anything.
It is fun to beat them in stuff. But yes, it'd be fun. All right, we're on the women's side. Lauren Hurts coming back for another season for women's basketball.
Woot!
A bit of a shocker, but I know the WNBA draw is not the same as the NBA draw. We're not going to get into what all that means and stuff, but excited to have Lauren Hurts play another year in purple.
Yeah.
So good for her. I wasn't really expecting it.
Nobody was.
Because she's hands down the best player on the TCU team. It's too early to say like top 10 of all time, but she's like – one of the best players in TCU women's basketball history.
For sure.
I don't know
for
if top 10 is too fair or too rough, but
I mean,
I can't think of
number
like,
one is always going to be Sandor Irvin.
Of course. But I can't think of like 8 more players that are better.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
So she's got to be in that top 10 conversation, I feel like, especially if gets another year.
All right, here we all go. Right. It's time.
Men's
all this good news, all this warm, fuzzy news.
Hope you enjoy the first 38 minutes of this podcast, because the next couple are going to be bad.
Oh, God. What is wrong?
Abe Baylor won the national title.
Yeah, that happened.
That sucked.
That happened.
Good. I know no one.
And a bunch of you jerks were rooting for him, so I blame you. I'm going to start administering purity tests. I'm going to go door-to-door in Tanglewood and wherever the heck else I need to go, where there's a lot of TCU fans supposedly concentrated. I'm going to administer purity tests, Spanish Inquisition style, to see if there's any latent Baylor love in your heart.
I had this conversation yesterday. I won't say who with, but he'll know. he was someone who was rooting for Baylor on Monday.
Gross.
Gross indeed, yes. But it's none of these people were there when all the bad stuff happened. That was going on 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, I'm never going to root for Baylor because the rivalry.
Yeah.
It's the rivalry. It's TCU's biggest rival. I was rooting for Gonzaga hard the other night. I was rooting for Houston before that. I was rooting for whoever it was they played, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I was rooting for Arkansas hard before that. So I'm never going to root for them.
But because, well, Billy, at the end of the day, I mean, and I have a bunch of dear friends from Baylor. Don't get me wrong.
I don't.
But at the end of the day, they're, this school and this fan base are the folks who supported that guy after he did that thing.
A lot
after
of them,
he did
a
that
A lot
thing.
Of them, yes.
It, yes.
And yes. But and now we're talking about the football guy. We're, I think, yes. I think the basketball thing
not,
was so long
not
ago.
Not Dave Bliss. Yeah. I'm talking about the ones that they wore black shirts in support of.
To watch them lose by 6 touchdowns to TCU. Yes. That was.
Those are the people that you are wishing success for. By the way, so continue.
Well, you got to separate some of the players all seem like genuinely good guys.
And, yes, they do.
And I'm sure in 3 years we'll find out that someone was getting illegal benefits and they'll take down a banner because that's what happens in college basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
But so.
And Scott Drew seems like a good
seems
guy.
Seems like a good guy, and he did lose in the first round every year until this year for the most part. I
Which
don't know
was
exactly
fun. I enjoyed that.
It was fun watching them lose to Harvard and then explaining how rebounds work.
Yeah.
Or losing, was it Georgia Southern or Georgia State? I get them confused all the time.
Yeah.
Where the coach was like, had a busted leg, and his son hit the game winner, and he fell off the chair to beat Baylor. That was beautiful, yes. So I'm never going to root for Baylor, but I don't need to keep bringing up, especially the basketball murder stuff. That was so long ago.
It was.
Football, there are still people around that root for that. But
there's still people from that staff that are getting hired to coach people.
Well, yeah, ironically named Horny.
Yes.
Is not ironically.
He coincidentally.
He just changed his name. That's unfortunate on a billion
when
levels.
When you're he's not associated with a sexual assault scandal.
He's on FIU's OC or something like that. Like, it just... Like, Little Bryles is what, in Arkansas?
Yeah, last I checked.
I think Kendall Bryles is at Arkansas. And I got a bunch of my friends that are Tech fans were pissed about Sonny Cumbie. Not because Cumbie's a bad guy, but because they wanted Art to be their OC. Like...
My father-in-law is turning over in his urn at the mere mention of that.
Yes. So, yes, you got to separate it. But, yes, congrats to some players. I don't like Matt Meyer. I'm not going to root for him.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats on the other guys.
Yeah.
I don't like Matt Meyer's face.
Yes.
Who is the guy I called Dollar Store Desmond Bane?
I see he's like number Vital, 11 or something.
Vital. Again, Dollar Store Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
But yes, which I think is a great joke.
Yes.
But yes.
It is. But, but the basketball team that we do care about.
But also how come that can't be TCU?
I know, man.
This hurts me to say, and take it the right way, they're the same school. It's a private school in Texas in the Big 12.
But it's not the same. No, we're in DFW.
Oh, okay, yes.
Better off. We're in the middle of the Fertile recruiting ground. We're not an hour down the road. We've got the facilities now. We theoretically have the coaching staff now. Why isn't that us?
Like, Baylor could easily be TCU. Tech could have easily been TCU.
Yes.
Like, SMU could even be TCU. Like,
yes.
They all have, again, TCU, if anything, is put in a better situation than all those schools.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor, I guess, is closer to Houston, and shout out Marcus Sloan.
By an hour? Like,
well, yes.
It's still 3 hours away.
I get it. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what I'm saying. That's the closest hotbed you are.
Yeah.
So why are they getting guys? Why are they coaching guys up? Because I don't, like, some of these guys were, like, big name guys in high school, but some, I don't think many of them were, like, they're not all one and done.
Yeah.
These guys have been there a while. They've been building this program for a while. So why can't this be TCU? And I think right now it can't be.
Because the whole team is leaving every year.
And why are they leaving, Clint?
I mean, I can't say
what's the one constant. What's the one constant?
I mean.
I still think Dixon has one more year. But if by this time next year, Miles goes pro, I think Samuel's still up in the air. Like, if you're looking at a team in 2022 that's led by PJ Fuller, Taryn Frank, and Chuck O'Bannon, are you thrilled for that unit?
Ugh, man. Like,
and Miles should go pro. Mike Miles should go pro now.
Yeah.
like I wouldn't blame him.
He could.
He technically could. RJ Nimbert, if you haven't seen this somehow, RJ Nimbert's gone pro. That's another move I don't quite understand, but I don't believe he signed an agent yet, so he could come back.
Yeah, he could still take
I love RJ. He had a fantastic year this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's another guy that could use another year.
Yeah, I agree.
So Kevin Easley and Ladee are transferring again. These guys transferred into TCU.
The Ladie one especially has me shaking, scratching and shaking and doing all number of things to my head. Because he was such a valuable contributor off the bench. And like,
he was the most improved player on the team this year.
What changed?
What changed? That, again, I don't think he's said where he's going. I don't think anything's been announced yet. If it has, I've just missed it. What changes? His stock has gotten higher.
Mm-hmm.
Who could be calling for a seventh man like him now? Maybe not Kentucky, or maybe Kentucky this year.
Yeah.
But like, could he be a guy that bounces on one of these teams that's like, cool? Because he's proved to be a very vital, hey, I'm a play tough. I'm going to give you 10 to 15 solid minutes every night. Fight for some rebounds. I know Kentucky's probably too high. People are yelling at me for comparing Ladie to that. But
yeah.
Ladie also transferred from Ohio State, who was a two seed.
Yeah.
Like he was a 4-star in high school. And so maybe it's one of those things where recruiting is becoming such a hotbed 24/7, even though they're on your team or not, they're not on your team.
Well, yeah, that is the thing. I mean, the landscape of the sport is such now that this is just the norm for everybody. I think Drew Davison tweeted, there's like 1,200 people in the transport.
Literally, I think there's over 1,200 now.
So how much of this is, I mean, it feels really triggering as a TCU fan because you're like, okay, why is this still happening?
But it's happening in lots of places.
Yeah.
And also, could you be upgrading Kevin Easley to like another guy like Chuck O'Bannon?
Yeah.
Like Chuck O'Bannon was a 5-star, supposed to be great. Maybe he showed flashes last year. Could you be up, because Easley, like him as a kid,
mm-hmm.
don't think he was ever going to be the next Desmond Bain.
Yeah. Well, and we did get that kid transfer in from Vanderbilt. I mean, you're replacing a warm body.
you replaced Kevin Easley.
Yeah.
8 points, 4 rebounds for the worst team in the SEC.
Yeah.
They didn't win a game in the SEC.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
They were winless. They were bad. And so, congrats. He gets to come play closer to Houston where he's from. Like, that's not going to set the world on fire, that move. But, like, and Mickey Pearson, Kevin Easley, I don't think they were ever going to be big factors. Todd, I think, had more potential. We saw him quite a bit down the stretch. Jane Ladie, plenty of potential as not your starting center or your starting power forward, but as a very competent backup power forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And Taron Todd is a backup forward guard hybrid guy.
Yeah.
So,
bright side.
The thing that it's all going to be the portal, right? It's all about free agency.
Yeah.
It sucks that it's gotten like this, but
it really, I hate to be that guy. It's kind of ruining college athletics a little.
Well, so is coaches making $50 million and Chris Beard gets to go and leave Texas Tech for Texas.
And that is the devil's advocate.
Who should be more mad, TCU fans or Tech fans?
Oh, Tech fans 100%. Tech fans
100%.
1,000,000%.
Yes. He had them in overtime in the national title game 2 years ago.
Yeah, and then didn't even give them a chance to match Texas's offer.
Was stacked for this season.
Yeah.
This COVID year, I'm not just saying asterisk because it's Baylor, but it's fun to say asterisk. But a lot of people had a bunch of stops and starts, and we gave Dixon the benefit of the doubt for missing 100 practices.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give Beard a benefit of the doubt because that team was loaded.
Yeah.
That team, I thought, would have gotten it together had it been a normal year.
They were in my Final Four.
When you made the brackets?
Yeah, when I made my bracket. Yeah.
I had Arkansas because I hated every other team in that region.
I had Baylor losing to Hartford in the first round, so that played out really well for me.
You did. No, that didn't look too good. You lost a bunch of points on that one.
Yeah.
But so it's going to come into free agency. Can you get guys that are better than the guys you replaced? By the way, like, how happy is UCLA that they didn't get Dixon?
I know.
That's the other side of this.
So many people are like, wow. Like, this team was like, got turned down by Jamie Dixon, and now they're in the Final Four.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Crazy. And I want Dixon to be good. But could you imagine, would you be more mad if Dixon had done the Chris Beard thing, if he had taken us to the national title game 2 years ago and then bolted for Texas?
It's hard because we've never been good.
Well, but Dixon's a TCU alum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Beard, I think, is at least a
Yeah,
Tech
he is
alum.
A Texas alum, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I'm just saying, like, could you imagine Dixon, like, taking TCU the national title game and then bolting for Texas?
That would hurt. It would hurt a lot, yeah.
It hurts. CDC leaving hurts.
Yeah, oh,
Caden
yeah.
Caden Hyde hurts.
Yeah.
Drew Martin hurts.
Yes.
like those all hurt. I think Dixon leaving, GP leaving to go to.
Well, that would have been, because Schloss, they flirted with Schloss so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if Schloss would have gone to Texas, I would have been furious.
What part of Schloss was that after like the first College World Series run.
I can't remember what year it was.
It was early. I want to say it was after like the first, maybe second, because there was, they went, what, 3 straight years?
I know most recently it was Mississippi State trying to get him. Yeah.
And they thought for sure they had him.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, the basketball team is bad. So you're looking at your...
it's bad.
Well, you're starting five next year. Tell me how many wins this team gets in the Big 12. Mike Miles, PJ Fuller, Chuck O'Bannon, Taryn Frank, and Kevin Samuel with... Right now,
well,
no bench.
Solomon Dumbaya.
Sure, okay. He's now backing up the happiest guy on the team that we all love, the center.
Kevin Samuel?
No, the big center from from Houston, Eddie Lampkin.
Oh, Eddie Lampkin.
The Soul Man's backing up Eddie Lampkin.
No.
Is that doing anything for you?
Listen.
No, tell me, with that starting five, how many Big 12 wins did they get next season?
Oh, hopefully.
Three tops.
Yeah.
Split with Iowa State, split with Kansas State, and you'll pull out one at home against Baylor, Oklahoma State, or somebody. You probably swept Oklahoma State with the best player in the country.
But, it's so frustrating because these guys, Mike Miles is great.
Mike Miles is great.
Kevin Samuel can be great. This team should be able to do enough to get into the tournament. They should be able to do enough. And if they can't, then there has to be a change.
We were thinking that that's what we were thinking about next year when you had RJ coming back. RJ and Mike were your
one. Now that RJ's gone, who the heck knows?
That's what I'm saying. You had RJ, Mike. You believed in Chuck O'Bannon living up to his 5-star hype. You believed in Kevin Samuel. And then a fourth guy, you and I could have started on that team if all four of those guys and could have won like 7 to 12 games.
Hold on. Can you imagine 5'9", slightly overweight Clint Foster out there with like all these 6'5", 6'8", 6'9" guys and starting at shooting guard from Fort Worth, Texas?
Harry Young is 5'11". Harrison Young.
He's got a few inches on me.
He does. He does. I was going to say his hair looks like yours, but I forgot he shaved it late in the season. So he has less hair than you do now. But yeah, man, looking at next year, so Ashery's gone. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Ashery's is gone. Ladie gone.
Oh my gosh.
Who is on GoFrogs that's on the team? Eddie Lampkin, Mike Miles,
Kevin Samuel,
Farabella. I'm just going on PJ Fuller.
Yeah.
Chuck O'Bannon. Nope. Dylan Arnett, did he go?
That name doesn't even ring a bell.
I'm going to say he's still on the team. Taryn Frank, Kevin Samuel, Harrison Young. Nine people. Harrison Young didn't play. There are 9 people on this roster that are still on the team as of now.
How is our roster so bipolar from year to year? And you think about going into, what year was that, 2019, we had a stacked roster, and then by the end of the year, we hardly had enough guys to put on the court.
So going into 19 or going into 18?
Whichever year we played in LA. So going into 18-19.
Into 18-19 season. Let me pull up the 18-19 roster for you. Desmond Bain, Kendrick Davis, Lat Mayan, Kuat Noy. God, these are fun.
Fun? Is that the adjective that
you're all these guys should still be here?
Yes.
they all should still be here. JD Miller was a senior. Samuel was a freshman. Nimbar was a freshman. A-Rob was a senior. Russell Barlow was a freshman.
Yeah.
But that trio of Davis and people get mad when Davis does something good because they don't know why he left. He had to leave. He had to leave.
He had to leave.
People might know the whole story there. And then Lat Mayan, I think, was injury related. But Kuat Noy, he could still be here, knocking down threes with a big old smile.
Yeah. That you said it all right there, Billy. Just a deep, exasperated sigh.
The sigh, I think, just says it all, man.
Yeah.
This team might win 3 Big 12 games this year. And you're right. If they don't make the tournament, I think Dixon's got to go. I hate it.
I hate it so much.
I hate it because he should have been what Chris Beard was.
He could have been a contender.
They were for a hot second.
Yeah.
And they ran to freaking Jim Boeheim.
Yeah.
Watch him go to what's the name? Jim Christian went to BC after this, right?
And they were terrible.
They were terrible. But watch Dixon go to Loyola Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And take them back.
Clean up, yeah.
Because their coach went to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Watch him go to somewhere like that and just kill it.
Yeah. That's the way it goes.
That's just the way it is.
Doodle-doo. Doodle-doo.
All right, Twitter questions. We've been gone too long. You got to leave here
soon. Things will always be the same.
Oh, natural segue. Chris Gardner, KRG Funny.
Hey.
How many players from this year's basketball team will be on the team next year? I just ran through them all. Probably less than that, though. Yeah. Like, probably.
Hey, we're on pace. We're on pace to lose every single player on our team.
Like, if Nimbard actually
goes, like two a week for every week from now until basketball season,
there'll be negative 70 players on the team.
This is taking years away from
us. It's not good. We'll be on the team next year. I've got the 2019 roster. I don't look at that again. It makes me sad. Ugh. But yes, maybe like four guys.
Oh my God.
Don Dowell, is there a better 80s cover band than the Molly Ringwalds?
Can't say I'm familiar, Don.
Can't say I'm familiar, but I'll say probably not. If that's one you like.
Yeah.
Is that one he's in?
I was at a wedding a couple weekends ago that had a really solid wedding band. Really solid. Sang some 80s songs. I don't know who they were, where they're from, but they did a good job. But I trust that these guys are pretty solid.
We'll combine these two questions. Doug at Surgery Dude says, I'm still pissed that somehow Baylor finds basketball success and we now have another player fleeing the program.
Yes.
Should this be Jamie's last year? And then Tommy at TRF51, will TC have a men's basketball team next year? Does everyone leaving again help Dixon's chances of keeping his job or being fired as he should have been already?
That is a question. You know, that... Yeah, that's a Donati question. How do you view this? Do you view this as like, okay, we're going to give him another pass because he's having to rebuild again? Or is it like, no, this is a systematic problem. It needs to change immediately.
I think it's make the tournament or go.
Yeah, I agree.
I think and maybe, like, does the NIT count as making the tournament? No, but after how bad this year was, if they rebound to make the NIT next year,
yeah.
I won't hate it. And I'd be more lenient on saying Dixon can come back one more year.
Yeah. If you make the NIT, you're like, it's a grumble and like, okay, one more year.
things are working.
Yes.
But if it's another year like this where they go 5-30 or whatever they did, that's not accurate, but it feels that way. Mm-hmm. Then yeah, he's got to go. This is like the most vocal I've been. I think I know that like I have like now a real career. I can now like say got a little more about this.
Yeah.
Doug at Surgery Dude, do you guys go to the athletic sale? What is your average dollar spent? I'm sitting around $250. I've never been. Have you been to this before?
I've only been in the context of as a manager helping set up the athletic sale, and we always got to like. Matt Lewis would be like, okay, everyone can take one thing, you know, and so I got a couple of cool things, but you know, yeah, my wife does the shopping in the family. I wouldn't feel comfortable going and dropping $250 on more TCU stuff that I already have so much of.
Are they having one next week? I honestly haven't heard.
I don't know.
I know it's usually around.
Yes, I saw TCU equipment. They did. They were going to have one. Yes.
Okay, there you go.
I think it was the same day as the spring game. I'm not positive.
I think it usually is. I can pull up, them on Twitter real quick. And then the last question from Kristen Barnes at Kristen Barnes 24. Who wins the Masters this weekend?
Kristen, you asked this question because you know that I have no clue. I do not know. But Jordan Spieth, because I like him, because he's from Texas.
And
the state, not the school.
he had a hot day today to get back in there. You know, I'm looking at the TCU equipment Twitter and I don't see this anymore.
Maybe it was on their Instagram story.
Maybe it was on Instagram, but I don't see it on their Twitter. Again, I just don't know. If it's been there, I just haven't missed it. Oh, nope. They pinned it from April 8th, so from yesterday.
Hmm.
That's why I can't see it because it was pinned. Surplus sale Saturday, May 15th. So that is the same day? No, May 15th. That's after the spring game. Spring game is next week. So surplus sale, additional details and information to follow. So yeah, it's May 15th, so you're not going to miss it if you just go to the spring game next week.
Perfect.
Who's going to win the Masters this weekend? Not a clue. I'll watch the final 2 hours of the final round if it's close. That's where I'm at with golf. I'm not
JJ Henry will win the Masters. I don't care if he's even playing.
Is he in it?
Isn't he like retired, bro?
I don't know. I'll go Tommy Finau because I like saying his name.
Finau.
It's a fun name to say.
Yeah.
And he's one of the few guys up here that I know. I know Justin Rose or is it Dustin Rose?
Dusty Rose.
Justin Rose. I know he went 7-under yesterday, then he went even today. That's more than I've ever thought we'd talk about the Masters in this. Talk about golf in this. But yes.
Settle in, you cool cats you know and what? Kittens, for the dulcet tones of Dusty Rose.
It was good to be back.
So good to be back.
I missed this. I missed you. Chit-chatting with
my homie.
I missed
you too. Yeah.
Bro.
We took entirely too long for my... for what I needed to be. It's fun.
You gotta be home in 20 minutes. You're like 15 minutes away.
But I also told my wife I'd be home 10 minutes ago. So.
Oh well.
I was like, don't worry, I'll be back at 5:15.
We did chat. We did send like a solid 20 minutes just chatting.
It's okay. We needed to. We needed to catch up, and I missed you, and you've missed me.
Well, tell the missus I apologize.
There will be no apologies.
We'll be back hopefully in 2 weeks. Promote something. Look for us at Spring Game. We'll be tweeting out our pictures or whatever.
Yeah. Look for us at the Spring Game. Follow me on Twitter at Clint_Foster55. Follow me on Instagram at TheClintFoster. Watch out for new videos on my YouTube channel. Like, subscribe, all those good things. There was something else I was going to plug. Oh, yeah. Watch Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso is so good.
It's about time, right?
It's so good.
Weren't you waiting on that?
Well, I got it with my SAG screeners.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I've watched it through twice now.
It's brilliant.
It's so great. So positive. So funny. You got to check it out if you haven't. Get somebody's Apple TV login. Stat.
That's great. Tell me what I've been watching lately. Nothing much. I don't have time. I haven't had time the last 3 weeks to watch anything. At Billy Wessels, go buy some insurance from one of us. We'll talk to you guys next week. If you have tax questions, call my dad, 972-672-9968. There you go.
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs!